seated. Let's bow our heads together as we look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come to you today in worship. We acknowledge before you that you have made us. We owe our worship to you, and you have redeemed us. You paid the price for our sins with the shed blood of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. And we come and we praise you this morning because of that great work that has been done for us. We come to you through Christ. We acknowledge that. And we come to ask you for grace and help for this congregation. Lord, you are a God who is all-knowing. And you know us as we gather here today. And may we acknowledge that. And we pray that you would help us. We pray for the physical needs that are represented here in this congregation. We think of those who are not feeling well today, those who are not able to come. And we pray that you would strengthen them and lift them up. Give your healing, we pray. We think of those who are traveling today. We pray for safety. We know that safety is of you. And so we ask that, especially for the folks in our church. And Lord, we pray for the needs of our hearts today. We ask that you would encourage us, that you would convict us, that you would show us what we need from your word today. And we ask your blessing on our church. We thank you for Morrow Bible Church. We thank you for the people that you've drawn together here for this body of believers. And we pray that you would bring your blessing upon this church. We pray that even this season, that we might be able to show forth and declare your praises as a body, and that would be honoring and worshipful to you. And we ask your blessing on our elders. We pray that you would help us as we seek to lead the church, and we just commit our assembly to you. We come to you today worshiping you with our offerings and our tithes, and we've present them before you, and we acknowledge that you own everything we have. And so we give you back a portion out of praise and thanksgiving, and help us to have that grateful attitude as we give, even today. We lift up our missionaries to you today, and we thank you for the privilege of partnering with them. We pray that you would sustain them in their work, that you would encourage them, that you would help them to see fruit for their labors. And we just commit the missionaries to you today, wherever they are, even today, ministering your word, serving people all over the world. We pray that you would strengthen them. We pray for our own testimony here in this community and the communities that we live in. We ask that you would help us to be the lights that you would have us to be. Give us boldness. Give us the words that we need to say to people to testify to them of the gospel. And we want to be used by you in that ministry. And so we pray for your help in that. Our Father, we lift our country to you, and we acknowledge that how much we need you today as a country. And we are discouraged at what we see, the things happening, the decisions that are being made, even in our government, that are against you. And so we come acknowledging that to you, but we do pray that you would overrule. We pray that you would allow people to come into office that would respect your law and your word. And we pray for our president, Joe Biden. We ask that you would guide him, pray that he would come to know you. We pray for our state government, led by Mike DeWine, and we just pray that you would guide him, help him to make wise decisions. And we pray for our leaders that they would be able to see what the wisdom is and to see what those who might be pressuring them to do wrong things would be, and give them discernment, we pray. We pray for our men and women that serve in the military and our armed forces. We ask for their protection and safety and salvation. We pray for our first responders here in our community. We thank you for them, what they do, and we pray for their protection and salvation as well. And we thank you, Lord, we're able to gather here today to worship you, and we pray that we would be able to glorify you in all that's said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals once again and turn to number 18. Turn over to number 18. Now thank we all our God. Number 18. And let's all stand as we sing this hymn. Now thank we all our God. Number 18. Let's stand. Clara Cost is going to come and minister in song. Clara Cost. Amen. Thank you very much, Clara. That was a wonderful song. I think that was our theme song from camp this past year. So we sang that at camp every day. So that's a great song. We should sing that more often. So thank you very much. All right, I want to invite you to turn now to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. As we continue on in 1 Peter, we have looked at the exhortations that Peter is giving in light of the realities that he gives in verses 1 through 13. And last week we looked at how we are called to love one another with a pure heart fervently. And the foundations of that are the purification we've received and our being born again. And we saw how that the tool of our being born again is the enduring Word of God. It's the complete opposite of our existence. We are grass. We are grass. And we wither. But the Word of God is enduring. The Word of God endureth forever. And then we come to another exhortation here in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 2. And the main command here is actually in verse 2, where it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. We've just seen the enduring nature of the Word. And now Peter tells us that we need to encourage our desire for that Word. What we know about God's Word, how it endures forever, that should encourage our desire for it. And that desire here we see is an intense desire. It's a craving. It's like a baby craves for its food. That's a very strong desire. Think about a baby and how strongly they desire that milk. You know, they cry if they can't have that food. And when they get that milk, it calms them. They can be at peace. They have such a strong craving for their food, for that milk. And that's what we are to be as well. Even whatever level of Christian we are, we're to be like babies in that sense. We are to desire the milk of the Word constantly. Sometimes our appetite is not what it should be. But we see here in these verses some steps to take to fix that. And I want to look at two steps in this passage to help our desire for the Word. And we see the first step is there in verse 1. We need to lay aside the barriers to the desire for the Word. We've got to lay aside the barriers to the desire for the Word. Verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. We see some barriers to the desire for the Word. A few years ago, I remember after church one Sunday night, I was really, really hungry. And it was just my daughter Lillian that was with me. I think the others were sick at home. And so I said, let's go to McDonald's after church. And so we went to McDonald's, and I think I got a Big Mac or double cheeseburger or something like that. And I scarfed it down. I was hungry. Really hungry. I don't know what she got, but probably a cheeseburger at that point. So a few years ago. And then so we got home and I went to bed. And a few hours later, my Big Mac came back up. And I got the sickness that was already in the house. And after I got that sickness, I was not hungry for a Big Mac anymore. I had some kind of stomach bug, and it made my appetite go down. I didn't have an appetite for food when I was sick. And, you know, we may be dealing with some spiritual sickness, and that affects our appetite for the Word. And we have to recognize that sickness here, and we've got to take away those barriers. Peter says to lay them aside. Lay these sins aside. This means to put them off. The picture in that word is of taking off badly stained clothes, clothes that are really dirty. Take those off and get into some clean clothes. Maybe you've been outside hunting, getting your deer, and you probably want to remove those clothes after you've gutted your deer because they're all dirty, and then you go inside. And so let's notice what Peter says to lay aside here, these barriers for the desire. First of all, lay aside all malice. Malice is a feeling of hostility and strong dislike. Sometimes the thought of doing somebody harm goes along with malice. Strong hatred towards them. Maybe we have that towards somebody because of actions or words that they've done to us. But we need to lay aside that malice, that hostility that we may feel towards others. And we must not allow that to continue in our lives. And what happens when we do allow malice to continue? It affects our desire for the Word. We don't desire the Word as we should when we have malice. And so we need to lay aside that malice. And then secondly, we need to lay aside all guile. Lay aside all guile. The word guile here is just the word for bait in the original. Bait. You know, you might use some cheese or peanut butter to bait a mouse trap, or a worm to bait a fishing hook. Remember when we first moved here, it was 12 years ago, we rented this Wires farmhouse there up on 175, and we had a lot of raccoons up there, and we had some traps, and I think we put some kitty food in the traps to get the raccoons. They liked that, and so we put that as bait in those traps. But that's what guile is. It's deceiving by using trickery and falsehood. And it can involve deceiving others for personal gain. Paul tells us in Romans 3 that guile is often done with words. In Romans 3:13, it says, "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit." Same word for guile here. "The poison of asps is under their lips." And perhaps there are some who have some bait out right now. And it is words. And they look really truthful and biblical and Christian and godly. But inside that bait, there is a hook. There's something that is designed to trap. And, you know, that's something that we can have in our lives. We can do that sort of thing to use deceit, the idea of lying in some way. And if we have that in our lives, Peter is telling us that that's going to decrease our appetite for God's Word. We're not going to have the strong craving that we ought to have. So we need to lay that aside, lay aside the guile, the deceiving. And then thirdly, we need to lay aside hypocrisies. Lay aside hypocrisies. Hypocrisies, just the idea of giving the impression of having certain purposes, certain motives, but the reality is quite different. It's just pretending to be what we are not really. Hypocrisies. People did this with Jesus. It says in Luke 20:20, they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his word, so that they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And of course, Jesus Christ can see through that hypocrisy. But that's what hypocrisy is. It's pretending to be something that we're not, to give that impression in whatever way we might do that. Of course, Ananias and Sapphira, a good example of that in the early church in Acts 5. They wanted to give the impression in their giving that they had given all of that amount that they sold their land for. And the reality was different, and God judged them for that. There are many different ways that we can have hypocrisy. It's in the plural here. Lay aside hypocrisies. Many different types of hypocrisy. And, you know, we just have to realize that it's not worth it trying to impress people, because God can see through that. And what Peter is trying to tell us here, when we have hypocrisies, we diminish our desire for God's Word. And so that's why we need to take away those hypocrisies, to not be involved in them. And then fourth here, fourth thing we need to lay aside is envies. Lay aside envies. What's envy? Envy is having ill will towards someone because of some real or presumed advantage experienced by that person. It means that we have a bad attitude towards somebody because they had some advantage. They outdid us in some way, and we want what they have, and so we have envy towards them. Proverbs tells us that envy is harmful to us. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones." You know, it's self-destructive to allow that to go on. And what should we do when we see the good things that happen to other people? When, you know, the classmate gets a better grade than you do on your test, what should we do? We should say, "Good job. Great job. You know, I'm glad that that happened to you." We should rejoice with other people. And if we allow envy to progress in our lives, we will find that our desire for God's Word will decrease. So we need to deal with envy. Lay aside envy. And then fifth here, we're told to lay aside all evil speakings. Lay aside all evil speakings. It's one word for evil speaking in the original. It's the word for slander. This is speech that runs down or disparages someone else. Slander, evil speaking. That's what it's talking about here. And there's all different ways that that can be done. Oftentimes it's done behind that person's back. And, you know, maybe it can take the form of prayer requests sometimes. Hey, would you pray for this person? Here's what's going on in their life, you know. And so we have to be careful of that sometimes. But if we continue with slanders, our desire for God's Word will be greatly hindered. And there's other bad results of slander, too. It breaks up fellowship in Christian communities and in even non-Christian communities. It can be harmful. But lay aside evil speakings. Lay aside slanders. You know, there may be some people that think about that list of sins and they would find it impossible to lay aside these sins. It's just the natural way of their life. It's second nature. But God calls us to recognize that these things are not how He wants us to live. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross because of our malice, our ill will towards other people, because of our hypocrisies, our wanting to impress people when the reality is much different. Christ died on the cross for those things. And perhaps there are some people that need to humble their hearts and repent of these sins and trust in the saving power of Jesus Christ. You know, somebody that has never done that is not going to be able to lay aside these sins. They're going to continue in those sins. It's just second nature. It's the way the flesh operates. It's our sin nature. But Peter here is writing to believers. He's reminding believers that they've been born again. We've been born again as believers. What does that mean? It means that we have a new nature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And Christ has given us that new nature with the ability to lay aside these sins. We don't need to be continuing on in these sins. We shouldn't tolerate them. And believers, we need to recognize that these things are weighing us down. The writer of Hebrews there in Hebrews 12 says that we are to lay aside the weights that beset us. And run the race, looking unto Jesus. And what are those weights? Well, these are some of the weights. They're some of the sins that weigh us down, that decrease our desire, that make us to run slow, just to walk. So we need to lay these things aside. We need to lay them aside. So that's the first step in helping our desire for the Word, is to lay aside these barriers. to that desire. We're not going to be able to desire the sincere milk of the Word if we have these sicknesses in our life. That takes away our appetite for the Word. We've got to lay these things aside. And then secondly, the second step I want you to see here this morning is the goal. Recognize the goal of this desire. Recognize the goal of this desire for the Word. Verse 2 again, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. That ye may grow thereby. That's the desire. That's the goal of the desire. That ye may grow thereby. Growth. That's what God wants us to experience. By having a good appetite for the Word, we are able to experience growth. We need that. Notice the work of growth here. It's a lifelong process. Growth is never finally accomplished in this life, but there is progress. We make progress. We can never stop increasing in our spiritual lives as Christians. Our faith is to grow. Ephesians 4 tells us that we are to grow up into Christ, who is the head of the body. We are to grow to be more like our head, Jesus Christ, all throughout our lives. In 2 Peter 3:18, we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a process. It goes on and on. We're to continue in that. And growth is something that is accomplished in us. This goal could be stated this way, that ye may be made to grow thereby. In other words, it's a passive verb. The action is done to us. You know, technically, growth is not something that we can do. You know, we can encourage or hinder our growth, but the Bible tells us that growth is something that the Word does within us, that God causes to happen within us. And God is doing that work inside of us. You know, we need to be careful of any teaching that suggests that Christians can attain a status where growth is no longer necessary. And, you know, there's some teaching that emphasizes the one-time experience, that is all that is needed. When we went through our series on spiritual warfare, we dealt with that some, where the thought about spiritual warfare is that, you know, I have these problems, perhaps sin problems, and I just need something that is going to quickly fix this problem that I have. And we saw that spiritual warfare is something that we need to be concerned about, but, you know, it's a process. We have to repent of our sins day by day and grow spiritually. We got to make sure we don't neglect this lifelong process of growth. There's a need for regular feeding on the Word, which leads to growth. And there may be times in our lives where we do make great steps forward spiritually. And we can look and see, hey, that was an experience I had that I did go forward in. I took a giant leap forward. But that doesn't mean that we're completed. We're done. We still need to grow day by day. And that comes by this desire, this craving for the Word that we need every day. We need to see the need for growth for ourselves and for others. I think in our families, we need to be concerned for the spiritual growth of those in our households. You know, we are naturally concerned about the physical issues and problems that people in our families might have and meeting those needs. But we also need to be concerned about their spiritual growth. Is it a priority for us to make sure that the people that we have influence over are really growing in the Lord? It should be a priority for us, for our children, our wives and husbands, grandchildren. We need to make this a concern for them. We want them to grow academically, physically, but let's not neglect their spiritual development. Let's make it a priority for us. Then notice the food for growth here. Peter says it's the sincere milk of the Word. Sincere milk of the Word. You know, the word milk is used in other texts, other passages, 1 Corinthians 3 and Hebrews 5, where we see that the idea of milk being for the young, for the immature, by this time you should be eating meat of the Word. And I don't think we see that distinction necessarily here in this passage. Milk is just the idea that God's Word provides us nourishment that we need. And all believers need that. We need that nourishing milk of the Word. It's milk for all believers, no matter what their status is. And then it's called sincere. Sincere, the word means pure. There's nothing that is deceitful or harmful in the Word. It's not mixed with any human philosophy that is going to have impurity in it. No, it's pure. It's sincere milk of the Word. It's pure enough that you can give to a baby Christian. That's what the new Christian needs. They need the Word. It is healthy enough to give to a mature Christian. We all need the nourishment that comes from the Word. You know, we talk about ruining our appetite sometimes. And it used to be, not so much lately anymore, but the girls would always ask me at night, "I want a snack, I'm hungry." And, usually say, wait till breakfast in the morning, depending on what time it was. And, you can ruin your appetite. If you eat certain things before dinner, you can ruin your appetite. And we can do that spiritually as well. We can have spiritual junk food that may ruin our appetites for the Word. That is not that sincere milk of the Word. Isaiah 55:2 says, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" You know, perhaps there are some that are eating food spiritually that is kind of like a spiritual junk food. It may be sugar-coated. It may look really good. It may have sort of a Christian coating on it. But really, there isn't that nourishment there. It's just a junk food. It may have a lot of glitz, a lot of hype. It may look successful in the world's eyes, but in reality, it's more junk food. And it's not really giving that satisfaction that the believer needs, that milk, that nourishing Word. So we need to make sure that we're not avoiding the nourishing food of the Word. Think about the crowds at the feeding of the 5,000. They just were fed with bread. But Jesus looked at them in John 6:26, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." And then later in that passage, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." We need to first be satisfied with Christ. We need to come to him as the bread of life and be nourished from him, believe on him, and not just labor for the meat that perishes, but for the bread of life, which gives satisfaction. There are certain parts of the Word that are a little bit harder to swallow. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that he needed to watch out for false doctrines, for false teachers. And he described what some of those were, and he identified them. And then he said in 1 Timothy 4:6, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." And he's saying, you know, even in the warnings there, warnings about false teachers, maybe some things that are a little bit harder for us to hear about. Do we really have to hear about this? Paul was saying to Timothy, that's nourishing. That's nourishing for you, and you're going to be able to nourish others if you receive that and take that. We need to prioritize the milk of the Word. You know, again, the newborn baby, you know, the way they act is as if their life depends upon their meal, their milk. And it does. That's the attitude of priority that we need to have towards the Word, that we must have it. Job had that attitude here in Job 23:12. He said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Jesus answered the devil's temptation with this thought as well. He said in Matthew 4:4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That should be our attitude towards the Word, that we cannot do without it. We must have it. We need to be babies. We need to be babies in our desire for the Word. We got to have that craving that we must have it or else we die. We cannot live without it. That should be our attitude towards it. Ourselves individually, our families need it. We need to be feeding them so they don't starve, so they're not pale and weak, sickly. And we need to make sure that we've done all that we could do to feed them the milk of the Word. That's the priority that we should have. And then see the motivation for this growth here in verse 3. "If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Peter is just helping us to remember our past experience and our tasting of the Lord. It's an idea of an experience, an actual personal experience with the Lord. We've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Think about going to the grocery store and looking for the samples. And usually they have some samples out there. And what do they want you to do? They want you to taste that, you know, little piece of cheese or cracker or whatever. And they want you to taste that and then buy more. They want you to taste that it's good, hopefully. And then that will lead you to do more. And that's why Peter is reminding us about this. He's reminding us that at some point we have tasted of the Lord. We've tasted that He is gracious. We've experienced that. And we need to go back and remember that so that our appetite will be increased, so that we will have even more appetite for the Word. Our past experience should encourage greater appetite for the Word. Seems that Peter's referring to Psalm 34:8. "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." You know, sometimes the kids will say they don't like some particular food that's served up. And sometimes, you know, I ask them, "Have you ever tried that? You know, have you ever even tasted that food?" "Oh, no, I just don't like how it looks, you know." But we have to taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, we first do that by repenting and believing on Jesus Christ. That's not something that anybody else can do for a person. There may be somebody that knows about the Lord, that knows about Christ and what He's done. He's died on the cross for our sins. They know they're a sinner. Maybe they could even give the gospel themselves. But has that person ever really tasted for themselves? Have they really personally repented and believed on Jesus Christ? And that's a question that we all need to ask ourselves. Have we really personally come to God and given our lives to Him and trusted on the finished work of Jesus Christ? That's how we taste. We come and we receive the bread of life. We taste and see that the Lord is good. And then we need to let that taste increase our appetite for God's Word. Maybe there's some that have let their appetite get spoiled. Maybe that's some of us today. We've been maybe feasting on some junk food, and our appetite for God's Word is just not there. Well, Peter is calling us back to remember our past experience when we have tasted and found the goodness of the Lord. And so, can you do that? Maybe your appetite is not where it should be. Can you remember today, this morning, can you remember at any time in your life when you have tasted and you have found the goodness of the Lord? Probably many of you can. Peter is saying, go back and remember that and let that experience help you to get a better appetite. There can be more of that, but we need to have that desire for God's Word. We need to recognize that there's a sweetness and a goodness to God's Word. Psalm 19, verse 10 says that God's words are more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And Jeremiah found that to be true as well. In Jeremiah 15, 16, he says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. That's just a reminder that we will find a blessing. We will find a sweetness in God's Word. There is something we can come to in God's Word, and we will be encouraged. We'll find a blessing there. And then, I just want you to not forget that the Lord is gracious. Let's not forget that the Lord is gracious. We've tasted of that in the past, and I just want to challenge you once again at Thanksgiving. Here we are at Thanksgiving season, the week of Thanksgiving. And let's bring back to our minds those experiences of God's graciousness and His goodness. Let's not forget that the Lord is gracious. And then let's declare that. And again, I want to just encourage you to come to this service we're having on Tuesday night, if you can, and to declare that. We'll have opportunity for that, where we can give thanks to the Lord for these ways that we've found Him to be gracious and good. I'll speak of that. He is. And, of course, not just at that time, but at other times as well. Let's give thanks to the Lord and just have a feast, a spiritual feast. On God's goodness and His gracious acts that He's done towards us. And as we do that, I think what we'll find is that our appetite is going to increase. Yes, you're going to have some feasting this week probably, and you'll have some appetite for the spiritual, the physical food. But the giving thanks to the Lord, recognizing the ways that He's been good to us, that will increase our appetite that we need to have, our desire for the Word. And so Peter is encouraging us here to desire the sincere milk of the Word, to crave it. We need to crave it. And we've got to lay aside these barriers. We've got to just lay aside all these things, malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, and recognize the goal, growth. If we will desire the Word, God will help us to grow through it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us all to have the desire for Your Word that we ought to have. And if we are sick in some way and that appetite is not there, we pray that You'd help us to lay aside the barriers. Give us the help we need for that. And we pray that we would grow. You want us to grow, we see here, and that's done through Your Word. And so we just ask that our appetites would increase, that we would have that desire for Your Word. And I pray that for each one of us here today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we close, let's turn over to number 375. I gave my life for Thee. Number 375. Let's all stand as we sing. Number 375, I gave my life to Thee. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.